Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my shirt. My plantation, my plantation, my plantation. Ah, plantation, 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 plantation.
So, had to wait until it quieted down, but Arsenal 5, Chelsea 0. Put it like this, the fact that me and my mates are walking out of here completely furious that we didn't score 6 lets you know...
Eight.
Lets you know just how high the standards are, and the fact that, look, Chelsea gave up in the end. We beat them in submission, and we looked like we left a good 20-30% out there in the tank. Like, we started coasting after a while and still got some goals afterwards. I personally didn't see Trossard starting, but I'm really glad he did. I thought there'd be a bit more space in behind because Chelsea don't know how to defend, but that works both ways because they don't have clever defenders, and Trossard was picking up space pretty much wherever he liked. I'm pretty sure he popped up on Chelsea's bench at some point. But yeah, look, I think overall Arteta's got the team now purring to a level where we can bring someone in that's going to make their second start of the season, if I remember correctly, and makes no difference. You know, Chelsea are out there with £1 billion spent and look like a team that, you know, are in, I would say, League Two probably. No disrespect to Erling Haaland. But yeah, really, really pleased with it overall. My personal man in the match, I want to give to Havertz because he symbolised the team today. I know he did some things that annoyed a lot of people, but he kept on getting chances, just like Arsenal, and he kept on scoring goals today. He walked away with 2, could have had a couple more. Honourable mention for Ben White, obviously. He scored 2 today as well, and in the 88th minute, he's making lung-busting runs into the box as well, looking for his hat-trick. Pleased with the subs as well, you know, the amount of time that we gave certain players. Happy with Fabio Vieira as well, what I saw today. We've got to be patient with him, unfortunately, because, look, he's not going to be a big player for us this season. I wished he was, but he's not going to be. Overall, yeah, 10 out of 10 points of Arsenal. I wish we scored 6, 7 or 8, but we didn't. But that's where we are now. We're pissed off with a 5-0 win against a team that cost £1.5 billion. So, yeah, just Coach signing out. Peace.
And that was Coach live from the Emirates Stadium. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Arsenal edition. This is your host, Dean. And on a lovely day, I am here with my co-host, Coach. How are you, Coach?
Look, Chelsea stink. And I've been waiting for this for a long time. Very happy.
Very happy.
Yeah. You and me both.
Oh, and here she is. Gabby's with us. How are you doing, Gabby?
Oh, I'm. This is one of the best days of my life. So far.
Care to explain
the hate manifest?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing hate everywhere, but do you care to explain your tagline beneath your name? It's
oh, there's some fucking moron masquerading on Twitter right now as a tactico, a false prophet, if you will, saying some very stupid things about Odegaard. We'll come to that.
Oh my God, it's gonna be you know what? We all have the same enemy, and that enemy is Chelsea. Coach, you were actually at the game. Thanks for doing the voice note earlier. Yeah. Good observations on the game.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you there, but you know, we call it a library, but you don't realize how loud that place can be when you're trying to record a video and trying to make people hear you. Like, the fuck? It's actually really, really, really inconvenient. So, yeah, I'm probably going to have to get a mic or something to really just make sure I can do it properly. So, yeah.
Well, we're never doing it again. Don't worry about that. Gabby, what did you think of the lineup? I know that this by default, 5 was selected. I know that's controversial for you. how did you feel? Were you okay?
What's the perfect way to put it? Crying, shitting, throwing up, like panic, like generally. But then, like counterpart, I saw Tomiyasu and I said, "All is well. All is well with the world." So it's okay. It's fine.
Okay. Coach, I'm thinking that this lineup today is essentially our best lineup until the end of the season. Like, we're going to want to put this, if we can, we're going to put this exact team out in every game moving forward.
Form-wise, I'm in complete and utter agreement, especially that front five. The front five, you know, Rice, Odegaard, like, yeah, I'm totally in agreement with that. What I would like if the right players were in form, would probably be slightly different, but doesn't matter. All of them are top quality Arsenal players, and I'm happy with it. But yeah, seeing Tomiyasu starting at this stage of the season is so refreshing because he's been here. This is his third full year here, and it's just been sick note after sick note. And the crucial times where we've needed him, like at the late end of the season, he just hasn't been available, and he is now. That is huge. Absolutely huge, man.
Are we supposed to take it as Mikel? I guess we know he will never give up on Martinelli. He gave him a new contract. But for this season, I kind of feel as if he's come to realize that, okay, for what we're trying to achieve, our best chance are the goals in Trossard's boots. Mm-hmm. Gabby, do you think he's just the second choice now, Martinelli?
I don't know if he's just the second choice, but you play the players who are in form. You play the players who are in the form. All right, we got, what, 5 finals left? That's how many games we have left, I think. Yeah. Trossard, unless Martinelli starts going on a crazy run in the next 2-3 games, I don't want to see that shit. Trossard starts every game, period. That guy is cash money in the box. It's crazy.
Indeed. And game started with great intensity. It was clear we were there to do business. But it also kind of felt I think this happens at home a lot. I can't really explain it. I feel like we're more open at the Emirates than we are away from home. Like, I suppose we have the excuse of trying to get points, you know, away points. We're serious. We're here for business. But at home, it's more like, well, we also have to entertain our fans, perhaps. Maybe that's the mindset shift that leads to this bullshit. But I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
No, there is. You're spot on. I think there's an expectation now. It's been like that forever, since Arsene Wenger took over, where we become sport and we're expectant of the fact that we have to be entertained. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, you know. We're not the only club in the world that has a fan base that expects to be entertained when we're at home, kind of thing. It's just when things don't go to plan, we get a bit, I suppose, funny is the best way I can put it. But yeah, like we started the game really well, and just it was high intensity. However, I was shamefully late and I'm running up the stairs and I can hear the goal go in basically. And I was like, I'm trying to get in and I can hear everyone going nuts basically. So I think that's the first time I've been late this season as well, you know. And I'm notoriously late, by the way, when it comes to games. Like, I'm always missing. Like, I try and miss North London forever. Like, I just try and miss it all the time, and I always overshoot it. So,
you're such a big hater of that. Honestly,
I thought I hated it until I went to a game with him, and the song starts, and he goes, "Shit, fucking song." And I'm like, God damn!
Oh my god!
Like, I thought he just typed it in the chat as like a bit. Or he type it on Twitter as like a bit. No, he actually says it while he's there. It's crazy.
Oh, man. But yeah, like the Trossard goes in and it's like, oh, shit. Okay, now we're serious. Because I think that is one of the earliest goals we scored this season at home, if I remember correctly. Or is it the earliest? It might be.
I can't think of an earlier one.
Yeah, me either.
This has been the season of control. Gabby, your favorite word.
Slow starts this season, not like last season.
But I have it written down. I think here's the problem. I haven't watched the highlights since the game ended. And we scored so many goals.
I've watched those highlights like 4 times. That was great viewing.
There's even this segment on Sky Sports that I've never watched in my life where they get 2 random journalists to wrap up the game in like 4 minutes. And I watched that shit as well.
Yeah, I've been watching content since that game finished. Okay.
So I had to record the soccer pod with Mitch and the rest of them. So unfortunately,
we don't want to hear about that shit.
But I'll be back. But yeah, Gabby, I don't remember Trossard's goal at all, really. Was that the near post finish by Petrovic's foot, I think?
Yes. Okay. Near post finish. It was a really, really sweeping move, actually. Like, I think like Kai comes close to get the, but like drops into the space to get the ball, does a simple like bounce pass back to, I think it was Party, who switches it over out to Declan Rice, who just comes sprinting forward out of nowhere. And he's just like basically running into the box. Nobody puts a tackle in, and then he just gives it to Trossard, shoots on sight as per usual, and it's a goal. And I was like, God damn, like I didn't even have a minute to catch my breath. We just started. Like,
it was it was a lovely goal. It was good for the nerves because you had put the fear of God in me with your whole I think Chelsea's gonna do something against us bullshit from the other day. I didn't like that shit.
I can't believe that. I'm so disappointed. Honestly, like,
don't listen to me. I don't talk in my head when I talk about Chelsea. I talk with my heart. There was a lot of hatred in there. I said I need them to win. I don't care.
Yeah, they took a lot from us. Let's be honest. They took a lot from us. You know, exactly. It is what it is. Everybody knows what they took from us, but whatever. Nico Jackson, should he have gone off, coach?
You know, I couldn't tell what happened actually, and all I've seen is screenshots, but so I don't know the context of how it happened, but I just don't understand how your foot can land there, you know.
Since you don't know what he's talking about, let me take this segment.
Yeah, please do, because I didn't see him make the
tackle. My head was so hot. I cannot even begin to describe to you how mad I was. Like, and the worst part is it happened to our most injury prone player. And I was just like, why? He was so late to the ball. Like, genuinely, I know that things look even worse when they're in slow mo and they're, when there's like, you're looking at a still, but that was just genuinely a terrible tackle. Mm-hmm. Like, genuinely a striker's challenge. Like, what the and the fact that they didn't even look at it, they genuinely didn't even look at it. They didn't pause, they didn't give a yellow card, they didn't VAR review, they were just like, play on, fuck it, whatever.
It was weird. It was really weird because it reminded me of the tackle from the game against Wolves on Kai.
Yeah, that was terrible. That
was a bad tackle. Should have been a red, I thought. This one as well.
This one was even worse than that one.
Look at it. That was the crazy part. They didn't even look at it.
It was just crazy. And it infuriates me because I feel like that happens a lot with when it comes to red cards for us. Like, it's just like basically the Kovacic thing, like all over again. I'm just like, so because he already got the yellow, we're not going to give him the second yellow just because of whatever. What you guys make up, whatever excuse you want to make up. I don't know. But are you going to protect the players or not? Are you going to protect the players or not? Like, because if he had actually hurt him for real and Tommy had come off, would you have gone back and been like, oh, that should have been a red? No, you weren't. It's just what's done is done now.
Right. It was a bad tackle. Really bad tackle. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to halftime because we were leading 1-0 and somehow I was annoyed.
Yeah.
Because we were so good. And we only scored one goal. Like, we could go through. We had 10 shots, 3 on target. I remember Havertz being tentative once or twice. That wasn't fun. I felt like the crowd was about to get on his back.
Love my boy, but they did. Terrible that first half.
To be honest, they did a little bit for like a minute afterwards. Everyone in my immediate vicinity, we kept on saying, "Why didn't he shoot?" Like, for like 30 seconds to like a minute, everyone was just fuming afterwards. Do you know what? I saw some of the stats from halftime and Chelsea had a better XG than us, right? And all of that XG came from one attack, basically. Right. Where it ended with an Enzo shot that whistled wide. But I think the Cucurella shot that came from across from Madueke. But Chelsea...
The Jackson run.
Yeah, that one too.
That one as well. But
which really pissed me off because that was the next time I saw him after he tried to kill Tomiyasu. So I was like, this motherfucker, like, is he going to drop us? Don't drop me. Like, I was so scared.
The PTSD almost crept in, but he's useless. So there's no worries there. But there was periods in that first half where Arsenal looked really, really good. And then all of a sudden, it kind of went into a basketball game. And I already knew what the team talk was going to be. That's when I was convinced that we go in at 1-0, Chelsea are in very deep trouble. Like, I kind of sensed it already. But when it became like a basketball game and he created those one or two chances kind of thing, it made me realise that the standards are so high that I am feeling nervous about conceding chances. Not conceding goals. I'm just nervous about the fact that they've had a, they had a good look at goal. When does anyone have a good look at goal as of late? It doesn't, you know, it's not something that I'm accustomed to, especially at home. So that's when I was like, oh, okay, Mikel's gonna switch things up for sure. He's absolutely gonna make the game a lot more stretched. A lot of the good stuff that we did in the first half came from Trossard making the pitch as big as possible, and I saw that happening again and again in the second half, especially with some of the stuff Saka was doing to Kukurea. Yeah, honestly, they're gonna put him on crime watch.
Sure. Oh my god, he had that guy on skates.
Yeah, and a lot of it came from the fact that, you know, we made the pitch really big, and then Modric is not gonna track back. But even if he did, Saka was skipping in between both of them whenever he wanted to, kind of thing. But my main concern, generally, in that first half, the fact that we conceded some good luck to them and they didn't deserve it because Chelsea are fucking terrible. Like, make no mistake about it, they are terrible. Forget the fact that Cole Palmer was there or wasn't there, whatever, doesn't matter. They're getting smoked today regardless, but we gave some good looks to them and didn't appreciate them. We're 30 points ahead of them. 30 points ahead of them, guys. We shouldn't be giving them any good looks at home.
Mind that fucking gap, you pricks.
Yeah. We had the pummel drone thing going. You know, we're on 74 points. They were on 47 points.
Yeah.
It's crazy because you only see that shit in basketball during the playoffs and whatnot. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. Gabby, which one of the chances in that period, that lost period, where we created a bunch but didn't really score, the press was working really well, Badia Shile was playing as a double agent, was great.
Oh my God.
Like,
for me, I feel like it was one of the Kai chances where he like runs behind the defender into the box and then he waits and then passes the shot that he should take. That's the one that had my head on Pluto. I was like, I literally texted the group chat and I think I tweeted, I was like, Kai, not today. Not today. Don't do this Chelsea PTSD bullshit today. Okay.
We don't give him any.
It can't hurt you anymore.
But we don't give him any, you know, sort of grace for the fact that, you know, he's a little traumatized by these blue fucking.
I don't want to hear that shit. He hasn't played like that since September when he was playing against United.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. It was weird. I'll go the more positive route and point at the chance that Declan Rice created where he pirouetted away from
Enzo. That was
nice. I'm just
if
like,
that
bro,
had gone in, my, oof.
Like, I've been a believer for a very long time. I've been a Declan Rice believer for a long time, but I didn't know he had it like that. Like, listen, that was nice.
He's pulling out the sauce.
It's nasty business, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to know you guys. I'm going to be a bit fair to Enzo. Enzo is fat, so he he's not able to maneuver as well as an actual professional footballer. Oh, no, I'm just thinking, bro, through. Apparently, he's been carrying a hernia for God knows how many years at this point.
So what, that's like what they keep saying.
Yeah, but no, but I think there's actually some legs to it, to be honest. But even then, if that's the case, I'm not being funny, get him off the pitch. You shouldn't be playing. Like, you shouldn't be playing.
That's on Poch. No, that's your problem, not mine.
Yeah, honestly, like, you're the one that spent 100 million on him. You're the one that spent with reckless abandonment. You know, you're the one that thought you were special because you could spend, and now you're realizing everybody else can spend, and you know you're not shit. But no, for real, their midfield, Chelsea midfield today was so funny to me because I looked at every single one of them. I thought, not a single one of you are better than any of our midfielders. Not even a little. Like, you're not even remotely close. And Enzo by far is their best midfielder. Like, make no mistake about that. But does he get into the Arsenal team? Absolutely not. And maybe when he's fit and he's firing, potentially the space for him to carry Declan Rice's morning paper and his bathrobe, potentially, I don't know. But as far as going to playing football matches for Arsenal Football Club, I don't see that in the near future. Now, obviously, there's room for growth and whatnot, but as it stands right now, not the standard, not the level. Caicedo, I've watched Chelsea's last God knows how many games, and he's looking to kill someone every single game. And I'm so glad he realised who he was today. I said, if I try that shit today, I'm probably leaving her in a body bag. So let me cool it down. But the last few games, he tried to kill someone. I think Grealish, the last game, was just terrible. There's a couple, I think in the Sheffield United game as well, there's another terrible tackle as well. I'm just glad that we, like, if he was going to try any shit, like, generally Arsenal seemed like we were up for the fight regardless anyway. Like, you know, I think Kukurea tried to throw a hissy fit and Ben White just told him to shut his mouth, basically.
Oh my God. One of my favorite moments in this whole entire game was when we scored and Cucurella like jumped up and down and did the temper tantrum thing. Yeah. That shit was so funny. I think I laughed at the team so hard.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Which goal? For the first one?
Oh my god, what goal was it? I think it was Ben White's goal.
I think 10 of them things today, bro.
All right, I want to have I don't need to over-egg this, but we looked very fluid today. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree on that. Even in the first half that I've bitched about, even though it was kind of great in retrospect.
Yeah.
Are we to give... How much of the credit do we have to give to Five?
I'll let Coach take that.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't expect him to start. I'll be so real. Arteta obviously knows, and to be fair, I mean, his post match, he said that he's been training well for the last like few days, or whatever. So he's obviously been prepping him for this period of the season. Look, we know where it is with number five. Like, we know exactly where it is in terms of the off the field stuff, and it's not to undermine off the field stuff kind of thing, but we as fans and people that watch the game, basically, he can't do anything about it, basically. With that being said, what Arteta has done by putting him on the pitch for Arsenal kind of thing is restored a profile that Arsenal have lacked, basically, this season. Someone that gets the ball forward super fast, sometimes recklessly, but a lot of the time it's measured as well. And I feel like the players almost kind of went back to a certain level of comfort, knowing that when he gets the ball, they can essentially just blitz the opposition in terms of picking up gaps, basically, because they know more often than not he's going to find them. I have to be clear, I'm not the biggest fan of him purely from the fact of, you know, again, off the field stuff, but you can't stay fit anyway. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that our season was almost ruined or derailed, but the fact that we wasn't sure of an answer to our midfield when he got injured kind of thing frustrated me so much, you know, like, and now he's fit for the last five games again. This is he's the second start in 8 months. By the way, Chelsea are terrible. Like, I have to be, like, someone that started two games in 8 months, basically, and doing that to your midfield, Chelsea are terrible. But yeah, the fluidity, genuinely, I think you saw someone like Rice today. He's normally quite good with Jorginho, but I feel like there was an even more assurance in his play today because he knew what was behind him, basically. There was so much aggression. The Trossard goal, he's carried that, and everyone's backing off him because he's running at full pelt. There's an extra bit of confidence, you know. Odegaard picking up all these little pockets, all these great holes kind of, because he knows, again, Five is going to find him. You know, honestly speaking, like, without sounding too cynical, but it was good to see from our players, you know. But again, you know, I'm sure somewhere down the line, you know, we will probably cut our losses anyway. Maybe for the right reasons, I don't know. Maybe for the wrong reasons, we don't know. But at some point, you know, I don't think purely from the fitness perspective anyway, I don't feel like his short term future is at Arsenal anyway.
I genuinely think he's gone in the summer just because they shopped him last window.
Yeah.
Not just because of like the off the field stuff, but because, like you said, this is his second start and we're at the end of the season. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's absurd. And while he's been training for a while and he's like played a couple minutes here and there, like, I think it says a lot about his availability that Arteta literally said, just give me two games. Give me this game and the game against Tottenham, probably, and like maybe the game against United. Like, I just need three games from you. That's it. Like, and then you're done. I don't care what you do.
Honestly, any other player in the squad, and it's such a shame in the sense that his profile is so unique, like in what he does and what he's able to do, kind of thing. Like, his profile is so unique, and the fact that he just isn't reliable. You know, he's just not reliable. That's the bottom line. Any other player in the squad, let me think of someone like, I don't know, a Gabby Jesus. People want him sold regardless anyway. But I think, imagine it was someone like Gabby Jesus that made his second start in 8 months. He wouldn't, like, he could come on the pitch and people would probably boo him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think we have to be very fair and very clear of it, kind of thing. It's simply, from that perspective, it's just not good enough. Anyway.
I mean, the amount of vim as the captain of the Tommy Hive, like, the vim that I've seen for Tommy this week is crazy, and they do not have that energy for Partey. But I mean, I will say, today he did play well. And there was like, you, what I say is his, we don't miss him specifically. I always say this, we don't miss him specifically, but we do miss his profile so badly when he's not available. He misses his profile so badly. His progressive passing is crazy. Like, it's actually crazy. His passing through the lines is crazy. And I hate giving him that, but it's just true. It's just true.
It's unique. That's what I'm saying. It's such a unique thing. And if we're looking in the Premier League, it's probably only Rodri. It's literally just Rodri, do you know what I mean? That can do that and do it to the same level or better, you know? If we're talking world football, Toni Kroos... Who else, man? Like, seriously, who else? I'm struggling.
It's maybe Xhaka a little bit.
I was gonna say.
It's the mobility though.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's, you always lose something. Just like if you're comparing him and Georgie, you're losing. I think you lose football IQ with Partey. A little bit, because his positioning can be terrible. He gave the ball away today, and I already knew he was gonna put in a bad tackle, and then he did and fouled him. But like his positioning, sometimes you'll lose that football IQ, and you'll gain that with Georgie. But he just doesn't have the legs. Like, he just cannot get up and down that pitch the way that Partey can. And even now, sometimes Partey can't get up and down that pitch sometimes. But yeah, we need that profile badly. We really do need to go out in the summer and buy someone.
Yeah, I mean, but who? Let's not get bogged down. Let's move on. This is about Chelsea, not about our summer plans for a midfielder. It was halftime. We're back at halftime now. And I suppose I was pretty comfortable that, you know, things would go well. Chelsea just didn't really offer enough of a threat. I was really annoyed that Raya had to make the save from the Jackson handball, which, like, why the fuck did he do that? Like, why would you use your hand there? Like, whatever. I don't understand that guy. You know, he's not a striker. That's all I know. Second half started. We kept the tempo up. Corner. Not directly from the corner. I think the second phase, I think Declan Rice took a shot in there somewhere. It ricocheted.
Yeah, just like on the ball, took a shot and deflected and then fell to Ben. And then it just reminded me of the last goal we just scored, Odegaard's goal against Wolves. Because he's like on the same side in the same position. And like, I mean, the keeper was closer to the like near the angle. But like, that was just like, oh, we scored again. And it's Ben. And Ben's been in the box a lot recently and not been doing what he needs to do. So I was like, love this for me. Love you, Benny.
My mind crossed it back to Bayern. I was like, man, I really wish that Bayern chance went in. but yeah, do you know, just because of how the first half went, you know, knowing that we should have scored, you know, a few, and Chelsea could have scored a couple as well, kind of thing. I always try to visualize what the manager might say at halftime. And I feel like, I'm not saying I'm right, but I feel like I might be right just purely on the result. I feel like he just told the players that if we don't win today, you're fucked. No, I'm joking. But like, I feel like he told the players, we're going to get tons of chances. I just need you to take a breath before you shoot. I need you to compose yourself and just realize that you've got a lot more time than what you may think. And you look at the types of finishes in the second half that we saw, they were just so composed and so, it's almost like they knew they were going to score. Whereas if you look at the way we took our chances in the first half, everybody was snatching at it. Everybody was snatching it. And it's a consistent thing that I've noticed with us in games. When we're on top and we only get a goal, or we go in at 0-0 or whatever kind of thing, you look at the way we're shooting and it's like, they're not convinced. They're not. And then you look at the second half performance and we scored 5, and I really feel like we could have scored 7 or 8, genuinely. And it's just,
Martinelli, we will come to you.
Yeah, we will get to you, man, for real. But there was such a composure of the way we took our chances. Ben White, he didn't snatch at it; he stroked it into the far corner. Like, there was very much a deliberateness about it. And he's in the 6-yard box, and he still managed to freeze time, which is so important. You know, at the top level, you need to be able to just freeze time, no matter how much space you have or don't have, and they gave him a ton of space. So,
maybe you just think Ben White is really cool. He just looks cool doing everything, because
everything.
He just scored a goal to me. I don't know all this fucking freezing time shit. He's a fucking right back. Shut the fuck up with all that shit. He's not Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's close, though. He's not him. Let's just move on. You know what, Gabby? you've earned this. You've supported Kai from day one. But other people deserve credit before we get to Kai. Big Gabby put in a tackle on Madueke that looked kind of borderline to me. I'll be honest. It looked borderline. But
Ref didn't blow it.
Home advantage.
He almost let someone kill Tomiyasu, so I guess that was fine. At least Gabby didn't kill the guy. The ball ends up at Odegaard's feet, and he plays a pass that I didn't think he was going to play. But he actually played the pass. It was so beautiful. It was so pretty.
Now, when I said Odegaard is one of our, if not our best passer, like, that is what I'm talking about. Like, he has been playing, I can't even say since January. I can't even say that, because technically he was playing well in the first half of the season.
I'd say November. I'd say from about November is when he really kicked into gear for me.
Genuine. Like, he just, like, when he got over that hip injury, that guy's lights out. That guy's lights out. This was his best performance in an Arsenal shirt, in my opinion. Like, he genuinely, like, the amount of chances he created and the passes that he pulled out of the bag were just crazy. That pass to Kai, if he didn't score that, I don't know
what I would have ran down myself to beat him.
I don't know what I would have done.
It's fascinating because I was telling you before we started that, right before he hit that pass, I was literally about to tweet some shit like, I need more out of Odegaard today. And I feel as if that pass was one of those moments that we're all going to remember. It's a highlight in his career for
someone
me. It was that good of a pass.
It's on Twitter right now.
Which, again, back to the agenda, why don't we just play him on the left more often? I feel like that's where he truly belongs.
Listen.
So do you know, should we just turn the segment into the Odegaard segment? I feel like
That's what it is.
He deserves it. But there's a couple of things here. First of all, Odegaard, I think with the next evolution of this team is essentially giving Odegaard even more freedom. I feel like that's the next evolution of this team. Because I feel like he's still shackled down to the right-hand side, which I understand. And it is very effective and it is entertaining to watch him and Saka just make people chase shadows. But for Arsenal to really excel, and I feel like I said this on like two or three pods ago, depending on the type of striker that we have up front, will determine what kind of midfield that we have as well. And I feel like Odegaard kind of fits into so many different roles within a formation kind of thing, that he could be different types of midfielders depending on the striker that we have. And the pass he played today, to me, is the pass of someone that is potentially just an end product merchant. He showed his end product merchant last year in terms of his goals. You know, the next stage for him to be just an assist merchant. Go on.
It reminds me a lot of the Fabio Vieira cross to Nketiah against Fulham.
I've got a better one, and I'm going to link it tomorrow when I'm like not tired. But Henri's record-breaking goal against Sparta Prague, Pires played that exact same pass. Like, literally, it was inch perfect. And that's the first thing I thought. Where I was sitting in the stadium today, I saw the run and I saw the arc of the pass, like, as he's playing it. And I'm thinking, there's no way he actually fucking does this. And he does it. And it just felt like it synced up. It felt as if we talk about flow and sync. The word I'm trying to say is, you know, basically.
I'm happy, but I'm not listening to you.
It's my first language. That's very poor for me, but that word, right? And they, you know, Kai really put into space saying that he knows he's got the beating of Cucurella. And again, he's taken 2-3 touches and he's composed himself and he just absolutely slapped it into the back of the net.
Oh my
Odegaard, that goal doesn't happen with complete and utter belief in Odegaard. Havertz doesn't make that run if he doesn't believe Odegaard can play that pass.
I agree, but he's been making that run all season, by the way.
Yeah, you know, he made that run really good runs. You know what? I think the Aston Villa game at Villa Park was really, really poor from a lot of our midfielders. And Zinchenko's Havertz made so many good runs that game and we barely found him. But I feel like, again, the evolution of the team since then, that's what, 6 or 7 months ago since that loss? The team's just been finding different ways, and Odegaard is very much key to it. He's come under some weird scrutiny for whatever reason about him, you know, taking too much of the ball off Saka and whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's just weird, but whatever. But when you can do stuff from that, from anywhere in the pitch, you're approaching levels that we're talking about potential, like, top 10 of the Ballon, top 10 Ballon d'Or at this point now. Like, those are the type, you're doing these type of things in these type of games at this stage of the season where it matters most, pulling out that kind of quality. Those moments are reserved for the very best players in the world, and you cannot tell me Odegaard isn't one of them right now.
I feel you on that, because you know what? If you took that video and you did some fucking AI Photoshop whatever, and you put Kevin De Bruyne there,
oh yeah,
and Haaland there, it would not look out of place. You wouldn't even blink an eye. That's a pass that Kevin De Bruyne makes 100%, and that was a sensational pass. The vision to even make that, and it was inch perfect. He didn't have to stop his stride. He didn't have to take a touch and fit.
Yep, that's like, key.
I can't praise Odegaard enough. And the fact that there are some people who genuinely think that we should move past him, that he's holding us back, or whatever the fuck they be saying. Mental illness. You're a fucking moron.
That's all I want. I just want him on the left more often. I just think his best highlights come from that position. But on to the main event. Gabby, I feel as if the word of the day is, I don't know, vindication or...
Oh, that's my favorite word.
Confirmation, you know, like Kai Havertz scored a brace against Chelsea.
Listen, I feel like LeBron. I say that shit all the time. That's my favorite that's my favorite saying. Because I knew I was going to be vindicated. I knew I was going to be vindicated when I said that in the summer. I was like, listen, I didn't want Kai Havertz either. But as soon as he got here, I was like, okay. One, I trust Mikel. And what, and his ability on his enhancement pack that he like has players download on their software. I don't know what he'd be doing to them, but Lord, that kid, that's a different player. That's a different player than he was at Chelsea, clearly.
Yeah.
And the way that he trusts his teammates and his teammates trust him, there is a reason that he plays in every game. Like, there's a reason he plays in every game in multiple positions. Whether he's striker, whether he's in midfield, it doesn't matter. He's going to be on that pitch. One of the first names on the team sheet. There's a reason for that. And yes, can he do better? Absolutely. But I knew I was going to be vindicated because I saw he was doing the right things. And at the beginning of the season, all of that stuff that was going on, it all looked like lack of confidence. Not lack of ability. Not like he's not good enough. He doesn't know what he wants to do. Arteta is trying to fit him in where he shouldn't be. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever else people were saying. That guy was not confident. He had the Chelsea stink on him. He just got scrubbed real hard. Yeah. Okay? Got in the shower 6-7 times.
Well, how many times Kanye West said?
Listen, I got it. All right. Now I figured it out. He trusts himself. He trusts himself and his ability to shoot now. And in that first half, I saw it. In that first half, I was like, it's not lack of confidence. You're thinking too hard. You're overthinking now. Just go back to being instinctual. When Kai is instinctual, he's crazy. That finish was absurd. I was like, he really just scored that. He really just scored that in Chelsea's head. Like that pass deserved a goal, and he gave it a goal. And then he celebrated in front of them. And I loved it. Yes.
He did this shit?
Two celebrations.
That's a lot.
Listen,
a lot.
You deserve it.
Yeah, he treated them like they were
good. After all the shit that they've been talking about you, after all the shit that they've been talking about you when you gave them a Champions League, listen. Leave it on their head tops.
I think we're overstaying a little bit, though. I think we just have to remember that he's German. Like,
there you go.
That's it. It's absolutely. I'm pretty certain he doesn't even remember he played for Chelsea because he's that focused. That he's that focused. I'm Arsenal. He's saying Yar Gunners Yar. He's fully entrenched in German Arsenal history. Sure. Like he gets it. Do you know what I mean? But no, look, Havertz is going to be. Is going to be one of those players that I think we look back on and realize, you know what, maybe it was a little bit harsh initially. When I say we, I mean in particular myself, only because I know how well he played before all of the Chelsea shit and what type of player he was. And he doesn't look anything like that player. That's the thing. The player that I loved, that I thought would be, you know, a special, special talent. He's not playing like that player anymore at all. That's a testament to just how intelligent he is. I think I said before, I think he might be our smartest player. And I feel like week on week is getting proved more. You don't start in this Arsenal side, number one, if you're not good enough, obviously. But if you're not able to read and understand the game and see the demands of it, there's so much that Kai Havertz does on and off the ball, but particularly off the ball, that allows us to play this way. I'll give an example of this, right? Everyone talks about, oh yeah, English football is fast and direct, and you know, they just get the ball to their goal as quickly as possible kind of thing. Arsenal can be one of the most, you know, ponderous sides, but not in a bad way. You know, we like slow build-up and, you know, try and kill you basically by exposing space. But then if you want to go direct and really quickly, Havertz is there. And he understands the importance of it. That's why he's always making himself an option, stretching defences, running channels. Obviously not as well as someone like Ollie Watkins, because he's probably one of the best around at doing that. But to a great, but to a great, great level. And sometimes just being a wall. The amount of chest downs that he done today, I'm sure he watched Drogba tapes, thinking, who's this great guy in this blue kit? Never seen him before, but he's fantastic anyway. But the amount of chest downs that he done today to Odegaard, to Rice, even sometimes to Saka, even just flick on sometimes as well, they might seem like basic things, but look at the devastating effect it has on it. And intelligent players know where the danger is and where to kill you, and they keep picking at it like a scab until you're dead, basically. That's what the really intelligent players do, and Havertz is one of them by far. I really enjoy him just for the fact that I understand that he understands that he's trying to hurt teams in the most, you know, in the most, if there's an obvious way to do it, he's going to do it basically until you plug the gap, and he's going to find the other, he's going to find something else to do, you know. So yeah, big up Havertz for all.
Oh shit, I was gonna talk about the second goal and transition to you, but fuck it. All I remember the second goal, Gabby, you seem to have the best memory of us today, is that Saka passed him the ball, and it was it a one touch finish that went in off?
No, let it run across his body, and he set himself.
Yeah, he let it run across it again. Then...
giving yourself time.
Call me crazy. Was that Robin van Persie?
Listen, that was before my time, but I've been hearing some things.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people who like to chat shit about Kai Havertz, but like Berbatov told you already, one of your favorite players out here said he reminds me of myself, and you guys tried to tell him he was wrong. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh man, we were having so much fun in this game. I didn't pay that much attention to the second half because I was just so pleased. I think I was genuinely afraid, because Chelsea do play well against bigger teams. They make an effort. They have a good pressing structure, but thankfully they have Nicholas Jackson. So all that shit goes to waste, which is fine by me. But even so, it was just really funny that Ben White scored that fourth goal the way he scored it. Like, it was like the total confirmation that Chelsea are currently in a morass of shit that I hope they never escape. Yeah. Like, it was just, for them, sad. I think that was the point where they, like, showed the kid in the stands holding up a sign that said,
oh, my God.
Shirt or whatever the fuck it said.
The way that I laughed, he said, I don't want your shirt. I want you to fight for ours.
Yeah. Bro, that used to be us.
I'll be honest. In the stands for y'all.
I've got to be honest. And, you know, people can cry about it, take it the wrong way, but bottom of my heart, fuck that kid.
Like, fuck them kids.
Big facts.
You don't want to hear that shit. I hope you go to school tomorrow and your friends absolutely melt you.
You don't ask, Nicole.
We all had to go through the fire. It's your turn now. It'll
give you character, something that you lack as a Chelsea fan. In any event, Ben White meant to essentially tap the ball back into a dangerous area for the oncoming runners, and it just kind of spun into the net. And I thought that was delightful, and so did Ben White, because he was just kind of looking like,
well,
I guess when it's your day, you know. But his overall performance was fantastic. Like,
yeah,
I think it's not time yet, because this is us, you know, it's early. We still have a league to win. But when you're coming out to the argument for player of the season, he's got to be in there. He's top five.
He makes team of the season. I think he makes team of the season for sure. He's got to make PFA team of the season. Who's been a better right back this season?
Well, they'll probably just give it to Trent.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not going to give it to... You don't why hold your breath for Ben there.
What's Trent actually done this season?
He has a name record. Let's just... It's a popularity contest.
Yeah, it's a popularity contest.
Trent scored a great goal this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He's been missing most of the season. They'll act as if Liverpool would have done better if he was around. You know, even though they've always been open, and he's part of that because of how he plays. But yeah, he's a good player. He's a better player. He's a better talent. But this season, Ben White has been the best right back in the Premier League.
Yeah, for sure.
Agreed. And it's not. It's for me. It's not been close. Genuinely, for like my player of the season, like the shouts for like Arsenal's player for the season is between Odegaard, Gabriel, Declan Rice, Ben White. Any one of those four, I would be happy.
Nah,
genuinely.
You know, every person versus racist. I'm not having that shit.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I feel bad even leaving names out because I know obviously Gabriel has been the best, probably our best centre back, but Saliba is not that far behind him, like at all. Like, he's not, like, it's very close. But you see with Ben White in general, like, and his understanding of, forget the defensive stuff, because I still think that's an underrated part of the game, but he's understanding of what it means to attack for us. The amount of options that he gives us, I think Arteta probably in training uses him as like an attacker. Hence why when it comes to these situations, he always seems to make the right decisions or be in the right positions. I remember in the Bayern game, one of the reasons why we were able to get access and get up the pitch was because he just started playing in the right half space. He fucked off right back completely and said, I'm not doing right back anymore. And he went into the right half space and Bayern didn't know what to do. And when he got the ball, a lot of the time, his body shape was, the next pass was already on straight away. The momentum never stopped kind of thing. And I look at his second goal today. Yeah, he meant to cross it, but there was three players at the back post. There's a reason for that. That goal was going in regardless. Had he crossed it correctly, someone's scoring that. The fact that it went in was just, you know, by chance kind of thing. But he seems to be making these decisions and getting these positions because it's just a repeated cycle of understanding. And sometimes it looks a little bit robotic, but sometimes it's very organic. The players know, oh shit, Ben White's got the ball. I need to be dashing into the box kind of thing. It was right at the back post, Trossard in the centre, and then Havertz not too far from him kind of thing. That's a learned pattern. Like, when looking at the composition of the team and how we attack today, I'm pretty sure if you go back and watch the highlights, again, you'll see that pattern over and over again. One of our fullbacks gets the ball and then everybody's crashing the box over and over and over and over and over again. There was a time when Arsenal get the ball wide and there'd be no one in the box. A repeated pattern over and over again. We get the ball wide, teams push us wide kind of thing. We're trying to get central access. There's no central access. And then we have the ball wide. And now it's like, okay, cool. You're not going to have central access. Okay, cool. We're going to have one of the best football players in the league literally just crash into space and then literally put the ball in the box. And we're going to have a lot of men there. Like, I really, really appreciate Ben White's understanding of how to attack for us. It helps us immeasurably. Like, seriously.
Very well said. Yeah, definitely a candidate for player of the season for me. Easily.
Yeah.
The next notable thing that happened, I mean, there was a moment where Nicholas Jackson, Chelsea broke on us. Nicholas Jackson got the ball in the box. It looked like Gabriel got hooked there, but I want to think of it as him having the presence of mind to know that if he went into that challenge any further, it would be a penalty. So he just dove out of the way, like, you know what? Fuck it.
I love when there's a recognition from Gabriel every time he's like, no.
Most of the moment. Oh my God, most of the moment. And he just dives out the way.
Like, I'd rather concede. Let me just...
Yeah.
And honestly, there's a strong argument that he watched Nicholas Jackson in the FA Cup semifinal and thought to himself, you know what? This nigga ain't not going to score. He's not going to do shit. Like, I'm just letting him shoot it. Because, bro, how? He could have scored there.
You know what's the funniest thing about Nicholas Jackson is that when he got the ball there, I knew he wasn't going to score. Like, I just knew he wasn't going to score.
He
got the ball. He put it on his right foot to shoot on the outside instead of opening his body up and shooting around Raya. And I was like, why would you do that?
Yeah, he has a
body. What in your head said, yeah, that's the finish? He like, not even Noodles does that. Like, that's crazy. Like, what?
Yeah, oh, that motherfucker has a lot to learn. A lot to learn. But Poch seems to like him. I mean, for whatever reason,
I get why he likes him. I get why he likes him.
I get that. He can't be your main goal scorer. Is my issue with it?
No. Of course not. But players like him will cause you problems because they never stop running, and they always make it. They're always available, you know, to either come short or to go long, kind of thing. It makes it hard for defenders. You know, he can come in short the entire day, then one time he goes long, and they're like, you're out of sync, kind of thing. So I get it, but yeah, in terms of front of goal, I'm very sure him and Gabby Jesus pursue the same female company for sure. it's almost uncanny.
All right, enough of that. In the 70th, we got a bunch of subs. The famed rotation that the timeline is always crying for. That's what it looks like at this time of the season. You play your best players when the games matter. When you're in the running and you're trying to win something, you play the good players. You don't save them for... What's happening after the season?
The Euros?
Oh, right. They're supposed to save them for the Euros? What the fuck? Like, shut up, people. We had Jesus come on for Kai. Martinelli came on for Trossard. Jorginho came on for Five. Zinchenko came on for Tomiyasu. That's a lot of subs. The dominance essentially remained the same. Chelsea never really had a real moment in the game. There's a period where they got to pass the ball around for a little bit because we let them, and we were also doing the olays from the crowd.
The olays were so funny. I was like, are we olaying their passes?
Honestly, yeah. I don't know how many years, but anyway, however long I've been watching ball, I don't think I've ever seen that. Like, I'm trying to recall a time where there's been such a gap in the quality of the teams and their standings in the table where we're essentially cheering them on or daring them to score. Basically, because we scored that straight for them. It was bad. I can't remember what minute it was when they decided that it was enough, kind of thing. They started fucking off back to their little holes and little whatever, back to Mordor. But by then, the players had given up. I think Raheem Sterling might have completed two sprints that game when he came on, basically.
I mean, why? And why one of them led... He didn't. Why would he come out and mess his braids up over this?
He said, y'all lost, not me. When he I will say, Poch.
Yeah.
You're not shit. Because when you put on Thiago Silva after you were 5-0 down, that is crazy. Yeah.
That's elder abuse. What the fuck?
Did you see what is wife? Wrong with you?
Did anybody see his wife's tweet? Like, his wife is always 10 toes down for some reason. Like, she's always cussing Chelsea.
she should.
Because she knows what a real club looks like. And that's a woman that was at PSG. We got another sub. The infamous Fabio Vieira. Finally.
Fabio lives.
Finally. And guess what, guys? He looked good.
Yeah.
Listen. When he got that ball on that right space and he was sprinting that goal, I said, he is not passing to Odegaard. He's going to shoot. And that's exactly what he did.
I'm glad, though, that despite Chelsea being bad, he didn't come on and just kind of, you know, collect his paycheck. He looked like, you know, I want in on this as well, kind of thing. Let's up the levels, kind of thing. And I feel like everybody else had kind of been like, no, we've been fucking him the entire game. Like, it's fine. You can do your thing, kind of thing. And it's good. Those kind of things, I can imagine, matters to Arteta. Arteta's like, I'm going to give you 10 minutes, but I need this to be the best 10 minutes of your life, kind of thing. These things matter. And, you know, he replicates that again in training, kind of thing. There could be a point, you know, where he gets a lot more than 10 minutes before the end of the season, kind of thing. But I can imagine Arteta's settled in what he wants, kind of thing. But if Fabio is literally knocking on the door, at some point he's going to have to open it, I think, for him. He's basically playing where Saka plays, but he's not playing the same role, which I think is interesting. I think is fun. I love a wide playmaker. They're some of my favorite types of footballers. And Fabio Vieira fits perfectly into it. He's not going to run on the outside of you. He's not, but he comes in field, you're dead pretty much. If he sees the pass, you're dead. And I think that's such an invaluable trait to have, especially when you have someone like Havertz that could potentially occupy the back post. You have Martinelli as well, who can make the outer in run. It's a great option to have, man. But I'm very much Fabio Havertz, and I really hope we get to see more of him before the end of the season.
Let me tell people something. Fabio saw those tweets about Vitina that y'all were putting out into the ether.
Yeah.
Wait on us. Okay, yeah. Fabio Hive is closed. Don't come over here.
Yeah,
we've been closed for weeks, months, even, because you guys were saying some dumb shit on Twitter. No.
Yeah,
wait on us.
The one observation I have about that performance was that there were moments where he actually got to like open up the gas and sprint.
Yeah.
And he looked quick. He looked fast. He looked like he belonged. I mean, now Chelsea had the stuffing kicked out of them at that point, but he looked like he belonged on a Premier League pitch. He didn't look lightweight. He looked like he belonged, like he wasn't going to get knocked off the ball. But I'm sure we'll see him again. He did enough to get another 10 minutes, I suppose, or maybe 15 minutes next time, if Arteta is being nice. Then that was the good news. Now we move on to the bad news. Gabriel Martinelli came on, and I don't know, man. Like, put it this way. This performance was wonderful. I'm still having a great time. I'm going to enjoy this until the North London Derby comes up this weekend on Sunday. But it wasn't enough. No. I'm sorry. It wasn't enough. It had to be six. If you know, you know. It wasn't six, so it wasn't enough.
Listen, Wenger was looking at us like, what the hell was that? Yeah. Avenge me.
I just feel like we got a taste. We didn't get the whole, it's left me wanting more, and I feel like there's going to be, I don't know what game it's coming in.
Sorry. I got to pause.
Let me finish.
I have to pause you. Sorry.
You should have just paused me then. Basically, I feel like there's something coming still. Like, this wasn't it. This is the tape. There's something else coming, man. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's something else coming. This wasn't it. Like, we're about to beat somebody 8-0 or something. They left that, like, this was supposed to be precise revenge for Arsene Wenger. On his 1,000th game, he went to Stamford Bridge. It didn't go well. That's all I'll say about it. That shit has haunted my dreams for many years.
Yeah.
And I just wanted six, and we didn't get six. And I hate to be mean about it, but I'm going to be a little mean.
Yeah.
Gabriel Martinelli should have given me six. Matter of fact, he should have given me seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
Should have been seven.
Those were good chances.
Yeah, they were great. Even Gabby Jesus, I think, had a good chance as well, actually. There was... I don't expect it from him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ben White has more goals. I love him, but Ben White has more goals. Yeah. Let's talk about a real striker, Martinelli.
No, it was 5-0 with 20 minutes to go. And I feel like that's where a lot of my disappointment came from. Like, 5-0 with 20 minutes to go, that's an eternity. You can get three goals. You've already scored five. You can get three in 20 minutes, guys. Like, it's not hard.
We've literally done it against Manchester United.
Yeah. So... no, for real. Exactly. No. Gabby's spot on. That was probably where I was most disappointed with tonight, which sounds crazy, guys. And I feel like we have to kind of take a seat, sorry, and look back on this. The fact that we are complaining about not scoring six or seven goals against Chelsea, a team that cost 1.5, probably even more than that, because God knows how much they paid in agents fees. God knows how much they paid under the table, because Chelsea are known for that, of course. A team that cost at least, should I say, 1.5 billion, we've just taken apart to a degree where... Yeah. And put it like this, Chelsea, I think the year after they won the Champions League, right, they finished 5 points ahead of us. One genius in my mentions was talking about, they were light years ahead of us.
I saw that.
Yeah, but no, seriously, but I was like, I'm confused. So he was like, no, but we was like, but you finished 5 points ahead of us. Last season, we finished 40 points ahead of us. Let me do the other way around. 40 points ahead of us. Of them, sorry. And this season, we're 30 points ahead of you. So if that's light years, I don't even want to know what this is, because this is terrifying.
All the years Chelsea had. Palmer FC, if you take his goals away, y'all are running down there with relegation with Everton and Nottingham Forest and the rest of those lot. I don't want to hear anything from you guys. It's anything.
Terrible. In all the years, right, Arsenal have finished behind Chelsea, or Chelsea have had better seasons, that kind of thing. It's never been close to 40 points, guys. Like, ever. And we haven't scored, and we haven't spent £1.5 billion on players, essentially.
Well,
as
well. We don't get a trophy for that. Leave that alone.
No, I don't care. I really fucking hate Chelsea. You have to understand, right? I can't really say this out loud because my missus supports Chelsea, so I'm getting it all out now, guys. So please bear with me. Thank you. But I really fucking hate them, right? And it needs to be known that Chelsea's failures, the only reason why it's not highlighted as much is because they're not a big club. Could you imagine if Arsenal spent 1.5 billion and we still finished and we find out our way to 12th, and this season we might finish again outside the top 10? We don't know yet. Do you know what I mean? Could you imagine if Liverpool done that? Could you imagine if United done that? The reason why Nobi cares is he's not a big club. Pardon, sorry?
TalkSport would eat forever off that.
Listen, they would never ever. TalkSport did this, to this day, try to besmirch the Invincibles, guys. They try to find pick holes in Invincibles. So could you imagine if we did something where we were, if we did a Chelsea, basically? Could you imagine? Listen, they would. Whatever the fucker's name is anyway, whoever he is, he would never have to work again, ever.
They tried to say that we should be replaced by Leicester in the top six, so.
The top six is not even a real thing, and they tried to get us out of it.
Exactly. So
that is wild. Guys, our next game is on Sunday. It feels like we're finally getting a break because the team essentially went through something like, was it 8 days? 3 games, 8 days? That's tough. I know we saw it on the schedule from before and thought it was going to be hard. It looked pretty hard, but they ended it pretty fantastically well. So shout out to them. But the next game, we get a break before then. It's on Sunday. It's a North London derby. How are we feeling? What are our expectations?
The problem is, while I know Spurs are not good, we tend to not win away at Spurs, at least recently. We tend to draw with them away or lose. And while I don't necessarily think we're going to lose, they need to show me that they can win. And they've been showing me this season every time that I doubt them, they've been showing me, and I shouldn't say every time, but most times when I doubt them, they've been showing me they can do it. Mentality monsters and all that. So I'm going to say, yeah.
I respect it. I love maintaining the reverse jinx. I love that. Keep going.
I'm looking at them thinking, if they want to come out and play us, that might just suit us. Like, let's make it a football game. I'm happy with that. You know what I mean?
That's how they play, mate.
Yeah. But you know, make it a football game, which I'm 99% certain they will. I'm happy with that. I feel like we've got the tools for it. If they go down the Porto route, that's where I get a bit nervous because the players are still, even though we've done well to adjust to it, like genuinely, even Bayern tried some of that a little bit here and there kind of thing. I feel like we've actually grown accustomed, but we found tools to deal when teams slow games down and they take the sting out of it and stuff like that. I don't feel like that even suits Tottenham. Tottenham can really only play one.
They only play one way,
which, you know, it might take us by surprise initially how fast they start, because make no mistake about it, they're coming out of the blocks on fire on Sunday. And it might take us, the first 5-10 minutes to essentially, you know, I wouldn't say get to grips with it, but just to, you know, bring ourselves up to that level kind of thing. But after that, if they huff and puff, I don't think we'll take them apart. But
listen, you
know, it's just about make sure we're up for the fight, because Angie's going to make sure Emerson is playing in that half space, trying to overload as much as he can. Can Rice plug that gap? You know, can Saliba step out to make sure that there's nothing there for him to play? Like, it's just those little battles there is what I worry about. But outside of that, you know, make it a football game, we'll take them apart.
I just need us to take one massive shit at the toilet bowl.
I mean, we did last season, you know what I mean? So
let's see. It wasn't that difficult. I mean, there was a good Ramsdale save in there, but it really wasn't that hard. It was a very easy game. All right, folks, we have, I think we've done enough gloating here. We could do
it's
more.
It's never going to be enough.
We could do more, but it's over an hour now, so we should probably get out of here. All right, folks, you know what to tell the people.
Peace.
Peace.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain, plantain. Plantain.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.